Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Philippians chapter number 3, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'll pick up reading in verse number 10. The Bible said this, that I may know him, which we know this is Paul. And it's interesting. I'm going to stop for just a second. It's interesting to read this chapter or to read this book. No less than 17 times the word joy or rejoice is mentioned in the book of Philippians, 4 short chapters. And Paul writes this book. It is known as a prison epistle. In other words, Paul is in prison while he's writing this and is still talking about rejoicing in the Lord. But verse number 10 says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attend or attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I love you today. I pray, God, that you'd help us for a little while as we look into your word, Father. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we preach this morning, God. Father, may we get a clear understanding from your word, and God will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this and really just use verse 13 and 14 as a springboard to talk to you a little while this morning. The Bible said this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize, or for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this one thing I do. D.L. Moody once said this, I'd rather say this one thing I do than these 40 things I dabble with. Have you ever met anybody like that? They dabble in a lot of things, but they never finish one thing. And Paul is saying this, there's one thing. Brother Andy just looked at Miss Dawn and said, he's talking about me. But anyway, Paul is saying, I want to focus on one thing. I want to focus on, what is the one thing that Paul is focusing on? I would say this to you, Paul is focusing on pleasing the Lord in everything he does. You know, whenever we begin to think about God today, God is the giver of new things. I began to think about that, and here's what I wrote down. He is the beginning, or the giver of new things. We come to him by faith in Christ, and he gives us a new birth. Then he gives us a new nature, a new heart, a new life, a new hope, a new task, and one day he will give us a new body in a new home called heaven. He is the giver of new things. Here in just a few days, if the Lord doesn't come back, he's going to give us what? He's going to give us a new year. On Saturday, we will begin a new year. Last night, I was sitting at home, and we came home from Mom and Dad's. We went over there for Christmas, and I looked up top 10 New Year's resolutions, and I found it very interesting what they are. I'm going to give them to you this morning. I looked at Leslie, and that's not what I'm preaching on. I'm just going to give it to you because I thought it was interesting. I looked at Leslie and I said, do you know what they are? She guessed 5 of them just like that. Here's what they are. Number 1, exercise more. Well, I didn't even get 3 amens on that because some of y'all's already tried that New Year's resolution and it just didn't work. Number 1, exercise more. Number 2, lose weight. Yeah, somebody said yeah on that one. Number 3, I found this an interesting, get organized. That was number three, was to get organized. And I thought, man, I hope some people I know that I'm around and do some things with has got that on their list. Get organized. Number four, learn a new skill or hobby. Number five, live life to the fullest. Number six, save more money. Spend less money. You know, that really goes hand in hand together. If you spend less money, you save. You ever heard anybody say, you know what, I bought a new vehicle? And yeah, you did. Yes. Let me tell you how much money I saved. The sticker price was $70,000 and I got it for $55,000. I saved $15,000. No, you spent $55,000 is what you just did. Spend less money. Haley, are they pointing fingers at you this morning, honey? I like your new car. I think you deserved it with all your hard work going through college and getting a real job. Way to go, Haley. But watch this, save more money, spend less money. Number, whatever it is that, let me look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 7, quit smoking. That was number 7. I don't have to worry about that one. Number 8, spend more time with family and friends. Number 9, travel more. And number 10, this really shocked me. Leslie guessed this one right here. Number 10, you know what it was? Read more. Read more. I guess our society today is trying to be better educated. I've told people about books, but Brother Brown, they just won't listen. If you will read, I'm telling you, it will help you. Read more. I began to think about this. In our text, Paul takes a few minutes and he looks back and then he looks forward. And you know what? If we was to take a few minutes today and we look back over this year, we would probably say that I'm not a big New Year's resolution person. I don't make New Year's resolutions because I never keep them. Somebody say amen right there. But no doubt some of you may have made a New Year's resolution. As we look back on that, you know what? You may not have kept that. Let's look at it from a spiritual realm. You know, you may have come into this year, and you know what you said in your mind? This year I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do more for the church. I'm not going to just go to church, but man, I'm going to get active in the church. I'm going to be there every time the doors open. I'm going to witness more. I'm going to tell more people about the Lord. And here we are at the closing of a year. You're going, man, where did I drop the ball at? Because the truth of the matter is, every one of us has dropped the ball this year. I don't know about you, but there, and I told you I'm going to talk to you from my heart this morning. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that, boy, I am vowed and determined. I'm going to read my Bible more, Brother Scotty. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to have a better relationship with the Lord. You hear me in what I'm fixing to tell you. If you do that, it's because you know self-discipline and hard work. You say, well, preacher, reading my Bible is not hard work. Well, I tell you what to do. Over the next 7 days, read 7 chapters a day. See how long you stay with it. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Paul takes a minute and he looks back. And you know what he says? As I look back, can I say this to you? There is some failures as I look back. There is some times this year where I missed the mark in serving the Lord. Paul takes a minute and Paul looks back. He looks back at past failures, but he also looks back at past accomplishments. We can say this year that God has allowed us to accomplish some things. God has allowed us in our church to give more to world missions this year than we ever have in the history of our church, as far as I know. We can look back and say, we have saw preachers sent out of our church this year. There has been some great accomplishments. There's some sitting on the pews today that wasn't sitting here the last Sunday of 2020, but you're sitting here today. God has allowed us to have some great accomplishments. But then he also says, I choose not only to forget my past failure, I choose to forget my past accomplishments also. You see, if we're constantly living in what we have done for the Lord, then we'll never do anything more for the Lord. If you have to sit around and talk about how you used to serve God, how you used to teach Sunday school, how you used to read your Bible, the good old days, then something's wrong. You see, we're still alive today. There's still people that needs to be saved today. Can I get an amen? There's still people that needs to hear about the gospel today. So we cannot just live back here, even though there's some failures and even though there's some accomplishments. He said, I choose to forget that. And then he says, I choose to focus on what's ahead of me. When we look back over our life, each and every one of us, each and every one of us, each and every one of us has made mistakes. You know, a lot of times we'll begin to serve the Lord. I battle not as much here, but when I'm preaching out, especially if I'm preaching in youth meetings, Brother Mark, I'll be sitting there with my Bible and I'll be getting ready to walk up and with my tablet and I'll be looking over my outline and I got some friends that they just carry their tablet all the time, but man, I like having my Bible in my hand and I'll be looking over my scripture and looking over my outline and just right before, I know Brother Randy, you'll know right before the preacher says to come up and preach, and sometimes they'll say this, go ahead and make your way to the platform after they sing this song, then we'll start, you can have the service and you can preach, and right before I get up, you know what the devil does? He crawls up on my back and he says, you have no business standing up there preaching. Do you not know the thoughts that went through your mind this week? Do you not know what you used to do? Do you not know the language you used to use? And you know what happens? The devil crawls up on our back, and if we're not careful, we will allow him to overtake our mind and to press us down, and we'll never do nothing for God. There has to be a forgetting this morning. What did he say? He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By way of introduction, there was a forgetting, there was a focusing, and then there was a finishing. What did he say? He said, I press towards the mark. I began studying that out, and Paul, I really believe, and you may not agree with me, but I really believe that Paul likes sport. Paul likens himself to an athlete on several different occasions. He likens himself to a runner. He likens himself to a boxer. He likens himself to a wrestler whenever you study it out. And right here, he is dealing with a runner. He said, I press towards the mark. And that day, whenever they would run, whenever they would get to the finish line, from what I can study, there was a piece of tape up, what we would know today, across that finish line, or a piece of ribbon. And the first one that broke that ribbon won the race. And Paul said, or writers would say, that whenever they run, whenever they got to the finish line, you know what Lightning McQueen did? He stuck his tongue out. Are y'all with me? Y'all remember that, don't you? But the writer says, the historian says, that they would press their chest. They would press forward. At the end of the run, they was given everything that they had because they was interested in winning the prize. Paul is saying right here, if we're going to finish this thing right, we're going to have to forget the failures of our past. We're going to have to forget the mistakes of our past. We're going to have to forget every bit of that. And we're going to have to focus on the finish and press towards that. Here's something you're going to have to do in the new year if you're going to finish right. Number one, I'm going to give you three simple things. Number one, we are to repent. We are to repent. We don't hear a lot of preaching about repentance anymore, but it's still right. We are to repent. We know that repentance is the first step to God. A man can never have a personal relationship with God until he first has repented of his sin. There's also repentance for the Christian. Once we are saved, the way that we stay in fellowship with God is if sin is out of our life. What did David say? David said this in Psalms, I think it was 66. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear my prayer. God will not hear my supplication to Him if there is sin in my life. So you know what we have to do on a daily basis to keep our relationship with God right? There must be repentance of our sin. I thought about this a lot of times, especially in our Sunday morning crowd, we have this mentality. Well, preacher, I'm not living in open sin. I'm not cheating on my spouse. I'm not living in fornication and adultery. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not beating my wife. I'm not beating my kids. The wives are thinking I'm not beating my husband. I'm a good person. Why do I need to repent? Well, the Bible said this in James chapter 4, verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So in other words, if there's something that you knew that you were supposed to do and you didn't do it, you sinned. Here's where the most of church-going Christians fall today in repentance if they're saved. Love for one another. In other words, if we don't love each other the way that we're supposed to, we're sinning. In other words, if I run my mouth about Brother Robert, then I'm sinning. If Brother Robert runs his mouth about me, then I'm sinning. If I've got all with Brother Jim, then I'm sinning. If Brother Jim's got all with me, then I'm sinning. And you know what we're going to have to do? If we're going to make the best of the new year, if God's going to be pleased with our life, if we are going to finish well, there must be repentance. There must be that time that we come before God and we ask God to forgive us for our failures, to forgive us for missing the mark. Because each and every one of us, every day of our life, you can say, amen or oh me, we miss the mark. We miss the mark. There must be repentance. I thought about this. God said that if we had iniquity in our heart, that he would not hear our prayer. There is times when others need your prayers. For instance, there has been times when I felt like I couldn't pray. Does that mean I couldn't pray? No. But there is times in our life where we feel like the heavens are brass and we can't get through. And you know what I'll do every once in a while? I'll text a few individuals, and the biggest part of them don't even come here to church, and I'll say, hey, will you say a prayer for me? I'm struggling right now. I'm going through a hardship right now. And you know what? It would be bad that if in that moment that I really needed somebody to touch heaven for me, if the people I reached out to had to spend 2 hours getting sin out of their life before God could hear them. There's times those call them all goes out. And if you're not on our call them all list, tell Miss Stephanie, we'll get you on it. But that call them all goes out. Brother Greg's mother, just the other night, Brother Greg's mother was getting rushed to the hospital and she was having a stroke. And you know what? At that moment, Brother Greg said that she was confused. At that moment, his mother could not pray for herself. Why? Because of her physical condition. And you know what she needed? You know what Brother Greg needed? Brother Greg needed the church to be able to pray for him and his family. That's the reason repentance has to be made on a daily basis. If we're going to run right, if we're going to finish right, if God is going to be pleased with us, church, we have to repent. We have to repent. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, repentance. Number one, there has to be repentance. Number two, if we're going to finish right and if we're going to live 2022 to the best of our ability, this is the last message I'll preach this year here. Number two, can I say this? Not only do we have to repent, but number two, we have to resolve. We have to resolve in our heart that we are going to live for God in this new year. Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. He resolved in his heart. And you know what? He done that 21-day fast, which I talked about on Wednesday night here at our church and challenged our church to do a 21-day fast starting January 1st with different things. He already done. He said, give us 21 days and give us just this right here and then see how we are. And you know what ends up happening, you that knows the book of Daniel? He looked better than anybody else. Why? Because he resolved in his heart that he was going to serve God. I'm going to tell you something this year. You need to resolve in your heart that you're going to serve God in this new year.
I'm not saying make a New Year's resolution. I'm saying resolve in your heart. Come what may, come hell or high water, man, I'm going with the Lord in the new year. I'm staying faithful to God. I'm staying with the church. I'm staying with the man of God. I'm staying with God in the new year. The resolve that he had. The three Hebrew boys, they had a resolve. Here's what happens so many times. We look at our past failures and say there's no reason to resolve in the new year. Let me read you some things. John R. Rice, here's what he said. No matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless. You might need to write that down. No matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless. You remember Babe Ruth, don't you? Does anybody? I'm not talking about the candy bar Dakota. I'm talking about the baseball player. You remember Babe Ruth, don't you? What was he known for? The most home runs. You know what else he was known for? Does anybody else know what he was known for? What was it, Brother Stan? The most strikeouts. But you never heard about the most strikeouts. Why? Because he had the most home runs. But the only way he ever hit a home run is because he was willing to swing the bat. Quit worrying about striking out. Quit worrying about being a failure. Man, step up to the plate and swing the bat for the Lord. Amen. He was known for the most home runs, but he was also known for the most strikeouts. Winston Churchill said this, success is the ability to move from one failure on to the next. You're going to fail. Somebody say amen. It's being able to move from one failure on to the next. I'm sure you've heard of a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Listen to his life. 1831, he failed in business and went bankrupt. 1833, back on his feet, but he failed again. 1835, his fiancée died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. 1838, he ran for Speaker of the House and was defeated. 1840, he ran for election and was defeated. 1843, he ran for Congress and was defeated. 1848, he ran for Congress and was defeated. 1856, he ran for Vice President and was defeated. 1858, he ran for Senate and was defeated. But in 1860, he was elected the President of the United States of America and was one of the greatest ones that we ever had. Why? Because he did not let failure stand in his way. He resolved to finish. So many times we say, man, you know, preacher, I tried to read my Bible and I just didn't. So I'm not going to try to get... Pick your head back up. Pick your head. Resolve in your heart. Resolve in your heart. Resolve in your mind. Man, I'm going to finish the race that God has put me in. One said this, success is this. Listen, I love this. Success is getting up just one more time than you fall down. Success is getting up just one more time than you fall down. So, preacher, what are you saying? There has to be a resolve. I read this the other day. It said, you will never step into the future looking in the past. Forget it. Forget. Repent of all of that. We've all made mistakes. We've all failed. Repent of it. Forget it. And resolve in your heart, man, I'm going to do something for God in this new year. You ever met somebody, they start something, but they never can finish it. I'm going to do this, and they never finish it. I'm going to do this, and they never... Man, resolve this year. I'm going to get in church. I'm going to be faithful. It's the cream of the crop sitting here this morning. But resolve in your heart. You're going to remain faithful this year. There was a resolve. Number three, this morning, if we're going to go into this new year and finish it right, we are to repent. We are to resolve. But then last of all, I say this and I'm done. We are to remember. We are to remember. You say, well, preacher, you just said forget. Stay with me. We are to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. We're to remember the sacrifice that Christ paid for us. Will you come start playing softly? Think about how much Jesus loved you. I love every person sitting in this room. I love you like you're my own family. We say this a lot of times, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. But that's a lie. Hey, didn't nobody say amen right there. I wouldn't do what God did. I wouldn't do what God did. You see, if I had to let Victoria die so you could live, come on, somebody help me. Brother Tim, if you had to let that little baby die so I could live, I know you love me. I've known you, besides Tina and Matt, longer than anybody in this room. I'd be there for you. I've tried my best to be. But if my youngin' had to die so you could live, Brother Tim, I hope you're ready to meet God. Brother Rodney, I love you like a brother, and I believe you do me. I believe you'd do almost anything you could for me. But I don't believe you'd let one of them youngins sitting back there, one of them youngins that just sang die so I could live. You need to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for you. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for you. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means that when the beard was plucked from His face, He felt it. That means when they placed a crown of thorn on His head, He felt it. That means when they took a cat of nine tails and beat Him to His bowels gush from within, He felt it. They just didn't hit Him. When you study that out, those Roman soldiers were so trained that whenever they struck Him, they waited to let all nine parts of that cat's tail, is what it was called, sink into His back. And then they didn't pick it up. They ripped it back to rip the flesh and the hide off of Him. His bones stared at Him. It's what Psalms 22 said. And He felt it. When they stuck a spear in His side, He felt it. When they took those, it was like railroad spikes, and drove Him into His hands and His feet. He felt it. He knew it. And every time that hammer hit it, He was the God man. He saw down through the scope of time and was seeing you and me. And He took it anyway. He saw every failure. He saw every mistake. You need to remember the price, the sacrifice, the sacrifice that Christ made for you. He did that because He loved you. And when we think about that, the least thing I can do is forget about my past failures and my past accomplishments and ask God to forgive me for my past failures and forgive me for the pride that I had when I had accomplishments. Somebody say amen right there. And resolve in my heart. We need to remember the sacrifice by Christ. We need to remember this. Not only the sacrifice by Christ, we need to remember this. We need to remember the day we got saved. Just let your mind go back there for just a minute. Just let your mind go back there for just a minute. The day that the Lord came to where you was at, showed you your need of Him, and you got down on your knees in an altar, riding up road, wherever you was at, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you. That was the best day of your life. You need to remember that. So, preacher, I can't go to that place. Well, today sure is a good day. Today can be the beginning of you being able to look back and see the day you got saved. You need to remember that. I wrote this down. You know what we need to remember this year? We need to remember supplication daily. We need to remember to talk to the Lord in prayer daily. You know what we need to remember this year? We need to remember to read the Scriptures this year. To stay in this book this year. Not only just to read it, but to meditate on it. We need to remember some things this morning. I read this, I'll give it to you in closing. Two merchants attended a revival meeting. They were competitors in the business, and the competition was often bitter. A few nights later, one of the men was saved. The other was deeply convicted for sin, but would not yield his heart to Christ. Here's what he said. I will watch that man that is my competitor for 1 year. If he lives his life as a Christian for 1 year, then I will repent of my sins and be saved. He soon saw a complete change in the man's social, business, and everyday life. At the end of the year, the other businessman gave his life to the Lord. May we live our life in this new year as that businessman that got saved. Forget about your failure. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget it. Say, preacher, you don't understand. Just forget it. Don't even talk about it no more. Forget it. Let the past be the past. We cannot change it. Would I change it if I could? Absolutely. The first thing I would change is I would go back to the very first time when God ever spoke to my heart as a little boy, and I'd have got saved right then. The second thing I'd have changed is if the Lord would have let me, I'd have met my wife a whole lot earlier in my life, and that'd have been the only person I ever dated, and it is the only person I ever married. I hope it's the only one I ever marry. Maybe she'll keep me around. All of that's hindsight, though. You can't live there. You can't live there. The past needs to be cremated. Just burn it. Just burn it. Preacher, I messed up so bad. Forget it. There's nothing you can do about it. But there is something you can do about tomorrow. There is something you can do about this afternoon. There is something new. Hey, you don't have to wait to January 1st to start this. Today's the day that we bury the past, we cremate it, we let it be gone, and we say, from here on out, I'm going to press everything that's in me, I'm giving it to Him.